Welcome to OU.org and www.etshalom.com. My name is Yitzhak Etshalom, and it's my pleasure to be studying Sefer Shmuel with you. And today we're going to study Shmuel Bet Perek Tet Zion. David has escaped from Yerushalayim. He has just begun to leave the city and has left behind Tzadok and Aviatar the Kohanim with the Aaron, their sons, Yehonatan Achimatz, who will be the runners, who will bring news to David of what is happening. He has sent Hushai Ha'arki back to Avshalom as a mole, as it were, and has prayed for the unraveling of Achitophel's counsel. And now we pick up the story. David Avar Me'at Meharosh. David has moved ahead a little bit. V'nei Tziva Nar Mefivoshet Likrato. And now Tziva. And Tziva is somewhat of a pivotal personality here because he represents the house of Shaul that may be rejoicing at the thought of the downfall of David and may even be offering an alliance and support to Avshalom in response for some restoration of power. We don't know about that yet, but it will be a subtext through the next few prakim. But Seman Chamorim Chabushim, and he comes with a pair of donkeys that are laden. So there are 200 loaves of bread and 100 raisin cakes, 100 things of summer fruit, kayitz, and a flask of wine. In other words, ready to go for the road with provisions. So the king said to Tziva, what is this? These all are yours, Lirkov. The donkeys are here for you to ride on. They are for you and for the lads to eat. And anyone who becomes thirsty. The word ya'ef in Tanakh often means thirsty, as we find in the story of Sisra. If one becomes thirsty in the desert, can drink wine. So where is Mephibosheth, the son of your master? Aha. Tziva says to the king, he's in Yerushalayim, he's waiting there. He is saying, now Bnei Yisrael are going to restore me to my father's monarchy. Now, what is the king's response to this? Does he believe it? Does he not believe it? The king immediately grants everything that is in Fibosheth, all those fields, to Tziva. For his loyalty, and Tziva bows in gratitude for accepting this gift. Now, that means that David believes Tziva's report about Mephibosheth, and that Mephibosheth is indeed gloating over the fall of David, anticipating a restoration of part or all of the monarchy to the house of Shaul. Chazal pick up on this and say that David was punished for accepting this Lashon Hara. And indeed, that's how they calculate his years. I mentioned this earlier. When it says that David was king for 40 years, that yet the math is not clear. He was king in Hebron for 7.5 years and king in Yerushalayim for 33. What happened to that extra 6 months? Chazal say those 6 months were not reckoned because David was a mitzora for the Lashon Hara that he accepted. In any case, David continues, V'amelech v'David ad Bachurim. He came to Bachurim, which we had heard about earlier. It is on the way out of Yerushalayim. V'hinei misham ish yotzei mishpachat Beit Shaul. A kinsman of Shaul came out. This is a city that belongs to Binyamin. It is on the rise up to Har HaZitim. U'shmo Shim'i ben Gera yotzei atzo mekalel. His name is Shim'i ben Gera. He is a Binyaminite. The name Shimi appears later on in Binyamin as one of the ancestors of Mordechai. And he was walking out and cursing as he was walking. Vaisakel ba'avanim et David. He threw rocks at David. Ve'et kol avdei ha'melech David. V'chol am v'chol ha'gibori. Gibori mimino mismalo. And all of David's entourage to his right and his left. And David, again, as we saw earlier in Shmuel Aleph, when David was on the run, is in a position to defeat his enemy and does not take advantage of it. And we'll see this in a minute. This is what Shimi said as he was cursing. Get out of here, you bloody man, you lowlife man. And he continues, God has paid you back for all of the blood of Beit Shaul, that you ruled in his place. In other words, Shimei is accusing David of a coup, of a bloody coup, ousting Shaul. From our perspective and from what we know, this is very far from the truth, but remember the phrase, Dmei Beit Shaul, it will come back to haunt us towards the end of the Sefer. And now God has given the monarchy to your son, you are in a bad way, because you are a bloody man. That is a phrase which again will return to David, but not in our Sefer. As I mentioned when we studied Perek Zion, in Divrei Hayamim, several times, a Bayit Sheni composition. We are told that David himself says to Shlomo, he wanted to build the Beit HaMikdash, but God told him he couldn't, because Yadecha Damim Maleu, you are a man of war and your hands are filled with blood. How this particular phrase associates with it is not all that clear. Avishai ben Surya, and again Avishai, who beforehand had said to David, let's kill Shaul while he's asleep in front of us. If you recall in Shmuel Aleph Perek Chavav, Avishai says to HaMelech, Lama yikalel ha-kelev ha-meta zet Adonai HaMelech? Why should this dead dog curse my master the king? Hebranah v'yasir rosho, let me go over and cut his head off. In other words, Avishai again offers to be David's hitman against his enemy, and again David restrains him. V'yomer elech, ma liv lachem b'nei tzuriya? Why are we disagreeing, b'nei tzuriya? Ko yikalel ki Adonai amar lo kalel. He sees Shimei's curse as God's word. This is what he curses because God told him to curse at David. And who's going to tell me why he did that? He did it because God decided he should do it. He's an instrument of God. Look, my son who came out of my own womb, out of my own loins, wants to kill me. And now this let him curse. That's what God said. Part of what David is saying is this is God's judgment. We have to accept it. And part of what David is saying is we've got far bigger fish to fry. We have to deal with Avshalom. This guy cursing is really of no account. And here the k'tiv is very helpful. David says, perhaps God will see my affliction. And God will repay me with goodness in lieu of this man's curse. In other words, David says exactly what he said in the case of Shaul. Shaul, I am not a bad man. I will not act that way. You will act that way. But in the meantime, God will judge on my behalf. And so David and his men continue on the way. Shimei was walking on the crest of the mountain opposite David. So David is walking and Shimei is a safe distance away, but close enough to be able to kick dirt and to curse him. And he was walking and cursing and throwing rocks at him and kicking dirt at him. That is the incident with Shimei. We will not see Shimei again in Shmuel Bet, but we will encounter him at the beginning of Sefer Melachim. So they were all very tired from trekking uphill and this interaction. The whole thing is emotionally very exhausting, and they rested there. And now we go back to the city. So Avshalom and all of the army came to Yerushalayim with Achitofel. And now Hushai comes. Remember, Hushai is going to appear to be loyal to Avshalom as a mole for David. He came to Avshalom and he said, long live the king. This is how you're kind to your friend, my father. Why didn't you walk with your friend? He says it somewhat derisively, but he's talking about David. So what's Hushai's answer? He's a sharp guy. The one that God chose and all of Am Yisrael chose, that's the one with whom I will be loyal. Now notice, he doesn't say I'm loyal to you, because in his heart he is loyal to the one that God and the people chose, and that's David. But he leads Avshalom to believe that he is loyal to him. And besides which, for whom should I worship? Who should I serve? After all, what greater loyalty is there to David than to serve his son? So I will serve you as I served your father. That is Hushai. Now that Hushai is in place, Avshalom turns to Achitofel and says, give some counsel, what should we do? Now remember, Hushai is in an awkward position, because Hushai has been sent by David to try to foul up Achitofel's advice. But if he speaks up immediately and challenges Achitofel's first bit of advice, it may be transparent what his motives are. So he has to play it smart and win the trust of the people and of the other counselors before acting. And so what happens? Let's hear what the first advice is. If you recall, in the last chapter, we read that David left 10 of his concubines in the city to watch the city. And now Achitofel says, you should have relations with them, the concubines that your father left to watch the house. And everyone will hear that you've stunk yourself up with your father. In other words, you have really shut the door on your father and not left any wiggle room for a rapprochement. And that will give vigor and strength to all those who are with you. What happened? Nobody spoke up. Avshalom accepted the advice. Ve'atula Avshalom ha'oel al hagag. So they took a tent and stretched it over the roof. Avshalom ha'pilakshe aviv le'nei kol Yisrael. Le'nei kol Yisrael here has to be understood as everyone saw that he went into the tent with each one of these concubines and had relations with them. And again, sleeping with your father's concubines is not so much about sex as it is about power and position. He's taking over the position of his father in an irrevocable way. There is no way back once he has done this. And now, parenthetically, this is Achitofel's advice, meaning when anybody would ask advice about Dvar Hashem, Achitofel would get advice, whether it was for David, whether it was for Avshalom. In other words, Achitofel had a reputation as a great advisor, and Avshalom took his advice. And so far, David's prayer that Achitofel's advice should be fouled has not come to fruition. However, we will see that Hushai is simply building up his credibility with Avshalom so that the next time that Achitofel gives advice of a much more critical nature, after all this is purely a symbolic act, then Hushai will be in a position to foul his advice. We will see that in the next podcast tomorrow. Everybody should have a wonderful day.